It's July 24th, 2016, Sunday at 7:42 p.m. And I'm in on the Pear Blossom Highway, heading back to Coachella Valley after about a 7-hour hike in the San Gabriel Mountains. And what I wanted to point to is, you know, for most people, you know, who are afflicted, who have pain and suffering, you know, most people can identify with it. Like it's childbirth, or you lost a family member, or you know, you have a you know, you have some disease that other people, you know, recognize and know that, oh, it's very painful, you know, or it's, you have an abusive husband and, wow, I can empathize because I know, I can identify with that. I know what it's like to be hit by someone that you love. But in my case, since 1994, I never knew it would have negative consequences until I had an MRI done on my, well, I aborted the MRI, but I went into the machine and it started in November of 1994, so that's now 10, 20, 22 years ago. And all these frustrations I have, you know, headaches, difficulty concentrating, retreating from my perceptions, just lying down, trying to tune out everything so I just don't feel this man-made wireless energy. It's the experience is wholly alien to most people. And I'm not, sure as hell didn't want to have that be, you know, a feather in my cap, you know, some sort of a bizarre source of pride. You know, I wanted to display visible light and love, a radiant transmission of love to people that culminated in what I call transfiguration, that is, you know, the embodiment of so much light, so much force, so much consciousness and love and forgiveness and all of that stuff. Ohm energy that you combust. You go, that literally every bond in your body is released. You know, and sure, yeah, I can have my pedestal right there, but I didn't want it anywhere else. I didn't want it to be a, you know, this pain business. And so let me approach it from a, you know, a couple of different angles. Oh, 20 years ago or so, I sent a letter out to 25 family members and friends, some wealthy ones too. You know, saying, "Hey, you know, I've got this sensitivity. It's horrible. I need protection. I think back then I said I need $50,000 for a down payment on a house and to construct an EMF enclosure inside the house." It was a reasonable request based on my, you know, based on my experiences, my perceptions, my research. I needed electromagnetic safety, and you can get that. There are facilities. I mean, there are places, manufacturers, and I visited some of these. You know, where it's modular rooms that are maybe particle board or hollow core for the most part, and then galvanized metal, sheet metal on either side. And then the doors are the same material, and there's like a copper filigree all four sides of the door, so that when it shuts, the metal, there's a constant metal encircling. And then, that's the wrong word for it, but constant metal contact. And I went to a place that makes the honeycomb, metal honeycomb vents that air can be piped into the room. And the honeycombs are so small, the little holes are so small. I mean, they're based on the size of the wave that you want to reduce or to block, attenuate is the word. I even spent the night in one of these things. And I knew that, hey, you know what? I felt good. Didn't have any chest pain, didn't have any headaches, no pain, no strain in my pineal gland or anywhere else that there might be this feeling of hot, bothersome energy. So I knew what I was saying, but no one responded. I got one response. The father of one of my best friends, who was I think he used to teach at UCLA Medical School, has a practice. He's an expert witness in his specialty in various legal court cases. You know, the guy's, and he's got, you know, millions of dollars. All right? He says, you know what? He doesn't normally respond to unsolicited requests for $50,000. I'd be best off seeking out medical help in the line of, Zoloft Zoloft. You know, that's basically a mood enhancer. And that's what happens. Don't tell me that the fucking 15 is backed up. Oh my God. I hate Interstate 15. It is so evil. There are so many people coming from LA up through this artery, past Barstow, on to Vegas. And it's a Sunday night. So I guess people are coming home from Vegas. I mean, who in the hell knows? Jesus. I just don't like seeing a sea of red lights when it's like, you know, oh well. And so the one person that responded to me out of like 25, only one person responded, I think. Yeah. And just said, hey, I need medication. And, all right, you know what? I get it. You know, that's, you know, people can't, I mean, what are you supposed to say? What do you expect? I mean, what in the hell do you expect? God, I just jammed in here. Merging. Wonderful. Well, but I wouldn't want to have a computer, you know, doing this, some kind of wireless remote for everybody. That's just, much rather have it be this, because you're sort of an organic madness that I can live with, that comes with dense populations and everyone doing their own thing. I don't want a computer running all this. You know, if you're a dissident, they'll just, you know, have you accelerate into a wall or something and say it was your, you know, that you were depressed. You had it coming. You wanted to die. But you didn't want to die. other people wanted to see you dead, but you didn't want to die. I'm going around and around on this, but it is a undercurrent. A significant theme in my life is the lack of, what's a word for it? Lack of recognition. Lack of, I don't know, empathy. Lack of consideration. Thing is that there are tens of thousands of studies that show that exposure to wireless radiation, digital, man-made wireless radiation, and other, you know, and analog, you know, shortwave and other things, damages. You know, there's damages plant life, animals, vascular systems, metabolic processes, all this stuff. You know, it's just people can't feel it. If you can't see it and you can't feel it, then why bother about it? Why bother? Who cares that five generations from now this exposure is going to have us have humanity sterile? You know, there is evidence. I don't know what kind of exposures we need, but I guess rat studies that in five generations they can't have children. That the effects of exposure to microwaves, man-made microwaves, the effects are cumulative and inheritable. You pass it on. Fancy that. Yeah, so they said, hey, get drugged up. That's your best bet. And then let me point to a couple family members. I have to say my mother's been the most understanding. And even she is, you know, she's allowed me to, you know, because I am staying at her place right now. The last couple of years I've been there. Going on my, wow, 4 whole years. It's a long time. But, you know, we have this sort of taboo about, you know, 51-year-old men living with their mother, you know, without children. It's not a... I'm not in great company on that one in some regards. oh, my God. Anyways, I hardwired the house, so we have no wireless router. And I don't allow her to take any calls on her cell phone. Everyone's got to come through the landline. And you know, she's so I had to pay for all that, but at least I've been able to hardwire the house. I have our meter is not a smart meter. I'm paying $10 a month to opt out and to continue with the non-radiating, non-Big Brother-ish, non-snooping. Old-fashioned analog meter, or whatever it is, the meter that's not monitoring every activity in your house. So thanks, Mom. You know, I've been trying to find work near my property. I've got a some, you know, couple, I have a few lots up in the high desert that I want to move on to, but just haven't been able to get the right job in that area. So I'm going to keep on trying. My father knows, I mean, he knows about my sensitivity. He inherited about $600,000 from his mother and father, my brother and I and our half-sister from my dad's second marriage. Or, you know, we didn't get a penny on that, and that's, I guess, all well and good. It was his choice, I guess, if he's the only one in the will. Actually, the estate was split between him and his sister, so, you know, they both got like 600 grand. She had a big house in Manhattan Beach, double lot, some other stuff. But he didn't offer to help in any way. In fact, he sent me $1,000. But when I didn't, when that wasn't enough for me to really do anything with, you know, these EMF enclosures are 20 grand or more, probably 50 grand, you know, depending on who you go with. He wanted the money back, and I refused, and I think I split it with my brother. Gave him 500, and I took 500. Because there's a whole bunch of things I do to protect myself from EMF, but I haven't been able to go ahead and get the enclosure to really do it right. Just haven't been able to do that. And then now, he's squandered the money, of course, and what little money and what little equity he had in the house that he's got right now, he's living on a reverse mortgage. So, you know, and furthermore, his three children, he says, are not going to be in his will. There's one grandkid, and all the money's going to that grandkid. So, Dad, thanks. You know, I don't really hold it against him. It's like, yeah, he's a, you know, some people can be fuckers and cheap and whatever, but you know what? Bottom line is, it's their goddamn money. They can do with their money what they bloody well please. And maybe I am having a real hard time with stuff that people can't see or feel. But that is not to say that everyone else doesn't have issues. Everyone's got issues. Karmas. Things that they're working on. Things that they want release from. And so, for other people, for whatever reason, maybe they need to buy a boat. You know, they need that boat. They need to go sailing. They need to travel. They need to have a massage, an inexpensive 2-hour long massage and body oil or whatever treatment every week that, you know, runs in the thousands of dollars a year for this ongoing treatment. Or they absolutely love somebody, or they have a charitable cause that they're very involved with, and they want to give their time and money to that. What I mean is, it's their choice, and they don't need to give me a penny. But I tried. And my point is that, I mean, I tried getting something. But I've had to survive on my own. Yeah, you can say, oh, you're more authentic that way. Oh, how wonderful, you know? How wonderful you lived with this torment all those years with no help. Oh my God. Aren't you a saint? You know what? Lots of people live with pain. Lots of people are, you know, they're 35 years in prison for an offense they did not commit. I mean, who's to say my torture, my pain is any worse than theirs? And it's not. But there are some striking differences. Mine, like I said, is like, I've gotten into this before, but to have some, you know, to have your spiritual aspirations end up like this, the very, almost like an inversion of your quest, to have that which you seek turn out to be that which destroys you, simply because the descending current of Kundalini and down through the frontal line, the frontal shock, you know, the chakras on the front of the body, triggered a whole bunch of stuff. It was kind of like, you know, the royal flush. It was kind of like, you know, you're at a slot machine and it comes up like five strawberries, you know, and the bank empties out. You know, I got my five, I hit the five strawberries. But I didn't know that the toxicity of this world would become so problematic to me. Had no idea. Had I known, I don't know. I probably would have, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know. Because I was on a quest for more, a quest for, you know, I want to complete my destiny kind of a thing. And, you know, would you hold your destiny in abeyance just to, you know, because it's, there's something in the environment that is counter to that? It doesn't sound like the courageous thing to do. So yeah, my dad hasn't given me, basically gave me $500 grudgingly, and that doesn't do squat for my sensitivity. And he wants me to come visit him, and he's got towers all over the place up at near his house. I can't stand visiting there. I get like green phlegm within a day. I'm hacking. I get the flu. I do. And then this coming week, I'm going to be visiting my uncle. He's got over $1 million in the bank. Home's worth over $1 million. And he's gay. He lives with his significant other of 25 years. Another man. Going back actually to visit my best friend from college, see my brother who I believe is a spook, working in some clandestine capacity, one of the 6 million Americans with, I guess, top secret clearance, signing non-disclosure agreements and all sorts of gag, you know, agreeing to all sorts of gag orders. They can't. He doesn't tell you anything about anything. That's just his lifestyle. He's a Scorpio. You know, good for him. But I'm going to probably see him and my best friend from college and who happens to be a partner at a major law firm. I think making like, I don't know, very big money. Over $1,000 an hour. Something crazy. But my uncle, you know, I'm going to want to take some walks, you know, get away from the tower that's not, it's kind of close to his house, take some walks and, what am I saying? No, I'm wandering there. What I want to say is that he too could have helped. He could solve my problems right away, but he's Scotch, you know? But he's, just because you're Scottish doesn't mean that you have to be a tightwad. But then the money's his. He has worked all of his life for his money. And you know, I know he can't take it with him, and now I think perhaps it'll all go to his partner. I don't know. My mother was hoping that her boys would, you know, me and my brother would get something. But my uncle was in a position to provide financial assistance as well. The only thing anybody did is, honestly, I mean, when I bought my house on the Big Island, because I did buy one, it was a foreclosure in a remote area. I got a great deal on it. I needed to come up with $13,000 for a down payment. And I was able to, with a $2,000 gift from my grandmother, my mother's mother. So out of all these people with money, my grandmother also had a lot of money. I guess I'm just not a good advocate. I don't like begging, and I do respect that, you know, people have their karmas, and I'm not going to take money from someone knowing that, like, I owe them or something, you know? And in all the years that my website has been up there, where people read about my various travails and brushes with divinity, blah, 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 no one's, like, emailed me saying, hey, I can't believe, you know, the suffering, you know? I can't believe what you've gone through. I'm so... I need to help you. I want to help you. You know, I need to write a check to you. No one has said that. I've gotten no offers of money. And that site's been up since, I think, in various forms since 2002. So that's 14 years. I have made exactly 0 cents. $0. If you can believe it, you know, and I'm not trying to make money. I don't want to, you know, I don't want followers. I don't want to have to be maintaining a relationship with someone, that is, you know, they, you know, just in terms of, trying to meet, you know, my life, which is hard enough. I have to now meet their needs. But when you look at, you know, Michelangelo or Da Vinci or, I don't know, Karl Marx and all these other people, maybe even to some extent, I don't know, Wolfgang Mozart or something, they all had patrons, didn't they? Most of them did. That's a wealthy person who takes an interest in your work and supports you. And I really... Really, I was in such a flow in 94, 95. I could have written so many books, so much. I had so much knowledge to share. And, but I was stuck spinning my wheels with my job, seeking safety, blah, blah, blah. I mean, really, years of my life, annual incomes, multiple annual incomes have gone towards just minimum maintenance, minimum survival for me. That would have been solved, and I would have been spared so much had someone been willing to just reach down and, you know, acknowledge me, support me. But no one has offered, no one has, you know, they want to read and learn and really not give back at all. And there's so much money in the world going towards horrible things. I mean, really, keeping me afloat would be can't even say the word. It'd be a very, very small amount of the, you know, the money that's flowing, the money that's out there. It would be ridiculously tiny. The world can afford to put me on welfare, I guess, is what you want. You know, I could say. I think I have demonstrated through my writing and my tenacity of my deserving of some special treatment. Truly. But I'm not going to... I'm not going to take money from someone that, you know, can't freely give it. I don't want any strings attached. Although, you know... If you're like a multimillionaire and you want to help me out, you know, I'd take you on a hike. You know, we could schedule, you know, 10 hikes a year, or, you know, something, whatever it is. If you feel like you need to be in contact with me, I can certainly accommodate that. But I don't want to have any restrictions on my creative license in terms of what I say and do. Going back to the original point, you know, it's one thing to be in a prison that everyone can see. Oh yes, you're in a prison. Oh yes, you're in solitary confinement. You know, we can all agree to that. Oh yes, you were dragged under the hull of the boat. You were keel hauled. Isn't that painful with all the barnacles tearing at your flesh as you're being dragged under the boat? In my case, my suffering goes, it increases the suffering when there's no one that can recognize it, can empathize with it, and it's just sad. Especially as I drive through San Bernardino here, and you know, having been irradiated, you know, it's awful feelings. I get pain in my arms, pain in my chest, my head swells, I get tired. It's just, and it's not just some passing thing. It's for hours after a drive like this, I'm affected, even into the next day. So, yeah, suffering alone without anyone to recognize it is a bummer, and it's a big part of my life. Over and out.